And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, I've been looking at YouTube. I've been looking at YouTube. It's one of the things that I get to do in my retired time. I get to spend my time, my free time, how I want. And sometimes I like to go check out YouTube. I like to check out what other people are posting on YouTube. And I look at a variety of different subjects. I really do. I look at stuff that interests me about hobbies that I have. I look at stuff that interests me about other things that I'm interested in. But ironically, I get a lot of stuff on my YouTube channel about real estate. I wonder why. You wondering too? Okay, it's a joke. The reason I get a lot of algorithm-driven material about real estate is because I do a lot of searching on YouTube about real estate. I want to see what people are talking about. And the biggest trend that I'm seeing out there right now is that there are many pundits out there on YouTube, probably on other social media. I just don't check out a lot of other social media, kind of like the video platform of YouTube. I don't know. It's just the way I roll. But there's a ton of pundits on there predicting a 2008-like real estate crash in 2025. And they point to several economic and market signals that echo conditions preceding the 2008 financial crisis. Although most experts argue the likelihood of a crash on that scale is low due to significant differences in market fundamentals. So who's right? I mean, there's an argument going on YouTube. I'm sure it's going on other social media platforms. And it's all about, is real estate going to crash? Well, why don't we analyze that today? Should we? Should we analyze that? I mean, that's probably a topic you would be interested in. Because if you own real estate and you're considering selling that real estate, if the market crashes, what you are taught to do by Lifestyles Unlimited is that you continue to operate that property. You do not sell that property for a loss. There's no reason to do that because you're making cash flow on the property. As long as you're owning and operating it correctly, the way we teach you how to do it at Lifestyles Unlimited, you're going to be fine through any correction that occurs in the market. You just continue to operate that property. And when the market recovers, and trend-wise, I mean, I could look at well over 200 years of real estate data in this country, and what I have determined is that the market always recovers. It does. So what are all the pundits saying? Well, here's a guy on YouTube, and he's standing in front of a for sale sign, and above the sign, it says foreclosure. And on the house next to it, you can see the house for sale sign, and it says foreclosure. And on the next house down, it says home for sale, and it says foreclosure. And then the title of his YouTube presentation is this: the housing market is collapsing. Yeah, he's all capitals, collapsing. 2025 real estate market crash. That's what he wants you to click on. He wants to get your attention, and he wants you to click on his video because he makes money off that video. So he's inciting you to check out his content. And you know what I did? I took the bait. You know what I found out? It's not really a video about the market crashing. It's not the doom and gloom that the thumbnail indicated to me that, oh, this guy's got some insight on the fact that the market's going to crash. It's going to be like as bad or worse than 2008. Maybe this guy's got some insight. And the more I looked at his video, the more I realized, nah, he doesn't have much data to support the hypothesis he makes in the video title. As a matter of fact, he goes on and he makes some of the arguments that I'm going to make to you today about whether or not I think we are going into a real estate crash. Now, here's another one. This guy, his title is Real Estate Crashing in 2025? And he's got a picture of himself standing in front of skyscrapers, and the big, bold narrative on the video icon is 97% discount. So he's trying to get you to believe that real estate prices are going to fall up to 97%. Now you think about that for a minute. If you own a property that's worth $100,000 in today's market and it falls 97%, what's it worth? $3,000. Do you really think that that kind of result will occur in our current economy? And I don't think it's true. I don't think it's true at all. And then I went on to look at even more stuff. Here's one that says Mid-Atlantic housing market is declining now. Here's one that says home prices will drop by 60% or more. The 2025 housing crash is worse than 2008. So then I thought, okay, well, what are all these pundits trying to express to me and you about a potential 2025 housing market crash that we don't know, especially when they keep drawing parallels to the 2008 crisis? So here's kind of what they're saying. Number one, the first thing that I think all of them, well, outside of maybe two or three, but the one thing that they all had in common was they all cited rising household debt and an affordability crisis. What does that mean? Well, it means, based on their concern, household debt is at record levels, with the Federal Reserve Bank of New York reporting $18.04 trillion in total household debt at the end of 2024, including rising credit card debt at a 3.5% delinquency rate, rising auto loan debt at a 2.0 delinquency rate, and of course, our favorite type of debt out there that just about every one of us took on, something called student loan debt, right? And that's added about a 20% delinquency. The debt to income ratios are averaging about 35.5% in 2025 and are nearing the 36% threshold for financial stability compared to 43% in 2008. Now, I got that data from Housing Wire and from looking at the videos that I cited at the beginning of the show. Their argument is that high debt-to-income ratios and consumer debt stress could spill over into mortgage payments, especially for high debt-to-income households, increasing default risks. There's stuff on the internet. I mean, you can go find it yourself. You can go to X. You can go to Twitter. Well, I guess Twitter is X. You can go to Facebook. Go where you ever you like to go. I'm not going to suggest any of them because I think they're all what they are. But I did see one post on X that warned of a slow burn where homes lose 5 to 10% of their value annually over 5 to 10 years. And they were citing affordability pressures. Affordability pressures. Okay. Now, one of the other things that I wanted to look at was, what is the Texas context? And the reason I want to look at the Texas context is because I think Texas, unlike the rest of the nation, did a better job of surviving the 2008 crisis. It did. And in Texas, affordability, according to their arguments, is strained, with 32.5% of income going to mortgage payments versus 23% historically. In major cities like Austin, where the median price for a home effective this month, July of 2025, is $449,900. And in Dallas-Fort Worth, the median price is $410,000. That cites high prices, which exacerbate the issue and potentially fuels fear of overvaluation. Kind of an interesting argument, huh? What else are they saying? Well, they're worried about high home prices outpacing incomes. Their concern is that home prices have risen faster than income levels, with the national median home price at $402,300 effective the first quarter of 2025, compared to Texas's $356,000 effective June of 2025. There are pundits out there like a guy by the name of Ian Shepherdson, who in a 2023 prediction warned of a 15% price drop due to this disparity, though this was for 2023 and not for 2025. And we know home prices rose in 2023, right? Well, they effectively did. Now, their argument, and this is what the pundits are arguing, is that prices are artificially inflated. In other words, I saw a post that claimed a 400% overvaluation predicting a $500,000 home dropping to $100,000. Yeah, that was one. Not to mention the one that I saw, the clickbait, where it said 97% reduction in price. Okay, so that stuff's out there. And that echoes 2008, when speculative buying drove unsustainable price growth, which isn't occurring right now, by the way. There's not a lot of speculative buying going on in the marketplace right now. And when you compare the home prices outpacing incomes to Texas, over the last 20 years, from 2005 to 2025, Texas prices in their real estate grew significantly. For instance, Austin grew at 150% valuation increase, Dallas 156%. But recent corrections in Austin, I mean, I did find data that shows a 21.5% reduction in pricing from the 2022 peak for Austin, which suggests overvaluation risks. But then I looked at other minor cities like Wichita Falls, where it's only $181,000, and Texarkana at $213,000 are less affected, but they still technically face some affordability challenges. What else is going on in the pundit world? Well, they have concerns about high mortgage rates and economic uncertainty. I mean, let's face it, the mortgage rates right now are like at, 6.72% effective this year, up from 3% in 2020, which doubles our borrowing costs, especially for first-time home buyers. And Meredith Whitney, who predicted the 2008 crisis, argues that rates must drop 75 to 100 basis points to revive the market. She might be onto something, or he, could be a he. Meredith is one of those names that go both ways. The economic uncertainty, including potential oil price volatility, which is currently about $57 per barrel in 2025, adds pressure, especially in Texas's West Texas markets, such as Pecos, which is actually down about 9.5% year over year. And that's according to Fox Business. The pundits are saying a lot of things. They're saying things like markets like Austin and San Antonio, which saw pandemic era prices surge, are correcting. So what do you do? Is there going to be a housing bubble? Because I saw three videos that talked about a housing bubble. Well, we're going to have to explore that when we come back from the break, aren't we? Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Now, some of you are going, okay, now who's the "we"? You always say, we're working on your financial future. So who's the "we"? Because all we hear, Al, is you. Well, I've got Rick in my ear, who's helping me help you. I've got an entire team supporting me, which is helping me help you. I've got the whole Lifestyles Unlimited infrastructure backing me up, which is helping me help you. So yeah, we're helping you all the time. We are. And I feel pretty good about that. But what I want to do is I want to get back into this clickbait stuff going on YouTube about a real estate crash. And I really want to understand if we're headed to a crash. And the reason I want to understand that is if we're truly heading for a crash, if we're truly going to a crash, the first thing that I'm going to look at is what assets do I own? And was I planning to sell any of those assets in the upcoming year or 2 years or 3 years, however this long this crash might take? If the answer is yes, then I will probably look at the potential to sell the asset. But more importantly, I'm going to also look at the potential to just hold and operate the asset. Because when the market is not appreciating, that is not the time for us as real estate investors to be selling our assets. What we need to do is lock down and hold through the market correction, because the market will correct. There's over 200 years of historical data that supports that argument, and we can sell on the other side. In the meantime, we're going to operate that property. In other words, that property is going to provide us cash flow. Cash flow is independent of what the market does with regards to valuation. Cash flow is a function of what you can rent the property for and what your expenses of owning the property are. The difference between those two is the cash flow you put into your pocket. If the market crashes, one of the things that I would do as a real estate investor is start buying. Start buying like crazy. Buy everything I can get my hands on, because I have 200 years of historical information that indicates to me that the values will go up. But what if we bought an asset and the value went down? I mean, we've already established that there's information out there that's indicating that the markets may be changing, right? So let's say we bought an asset that was potentially worth $100,000 and the price went down 10%. So now the asset's only worth $90,000 in the market. But that asset is providing you $300 a month in passive income. That doesn't change. Just because the value of the asset went down as far as a fair market value, that cash flow has remained the same. And part of the reason for that is you signed a lease with a resident that says they will pay you X amount of dollars on the first of the month, each and every month they intend to live in the property. And because you have a one-year lease, you know they're going to be paying you for at least 12 months, right? And then you work on a renewal and you get them to pay you for another 12 months. Gives you an opportunity to ride out the market. And then when the market gets back to where the value of the asset is $100,000, you're okay. But in the meantime, nothing really happened to you when the value of the property went down, because you didn't do anything to lock in that pricing. You didn't sell the asset. You didn't make it go away. You retained the asset. So if I'm going to buy, I'm going to buy an asset for $100,000. And let's say it goes down to $90,000. Do I care? No, not really. Because now I can buy an asset for $90,000 and I can own and operate it through the dip in the market. And let's say it goes down another $10,000. Am I upset? I mean, after all, I've got one asset that now was worth $100,000, only worth $80,000. I've got a second asset that was worth $90,000, only worth $80,000. But now I can buy the assets for $80,000. So I buy an asset for $80,000 and I own and I operate it. And then I find out pricing isn't going down anymore. So what do? I continue to buy. I continue to buy at $80,000. And when the price goes up to $90,000, I'm going to buy at $90,000. And when the price goes up to $100,000, I'm going to buy at $100,000. And then when the price goes up to $110,000, all of my assets have gone up in value. Does that make sense? In the meantime, all of those assets have been producing cash flow, which has benefited me by exchanging the cash flow that I'm making and offsetting the income that I would have to go to work for. Pretty cool stuff, right? So why is a 2008 crash unlikely in 2025? I mean, there's a lot of experts out there that are arguing that a crash in 2025 is improbable due to fundamental differences in market conditions. Now, I've told you about many of these things in past shows. I mean, you can go back to 2024. I've talked about this stuff. You can go back to 2023. I've talked about this stuff. My point is, I've been analyzing this for a while. And what I've seen is nothing in 2025. I saw nothing in 2024 that reflected what was going on in 2008. I saw nothing in 2023 that reflected what was going on in 2008. So far, I don't see anything going on in 2025 that is reflective of what happened in 2008. So what's different? Well, there's stricter lending standards. In 2008, when subprime loans made up 40% of the market and no doc loans fueled defaults, 2025's lending standards are robust. There are no signature loans anymore. They are full application and they run you through the ringer to decide whether or not you're credible a credible risk as a lendee. Subprime loans are only 0.4% of the market, and 67% of mortgages made in 2021 went to borrowers with credit scores above 760. Now, another factor is that fixed-rate mortgages, which make up 92% of the loans that were issued in 2024, protect against payment shocks, unlike 2008's adjustable-rate mortgages, which were the norm. And when you look at Texas, you find that Texas borrowers benefited from these standards with lower delinquency rates, effectively 2.3% in quarter one of 2025 versus a 5% delinquency rate in 2008. And I got that data from housingwire.com. Another thing that benefits the current market that didn't happen in 2008, low foreclosure rates and high equity. Big game changer. Foreclosures are down to 174,100 in 2024 versus 500,000 annually 2008 to 2010. Nearly half of U.S. homes are equity rich, meaning they have a loan-to-value ratio of less than 50%, compared to 25% of loans that went underwater in 2009. And for Texas, Texas homeowners, especially in Dallas and Houston, have significant equity cushioning against price drops. All right, now check it out. Currently, in 2025 nationwide, there is a 3.7 million unit housing shortage. 3.7 million unit housing shortage versus a 1.5 million unit surplus in 2008. Yeah, that supports prices. The housing shortage that we have right now supports the prices that are out there. Experts like Lawrence Yoon from the National Association of Realtors argue low supply prevents a crash. Now, some of you might interpret that as, oh, wait a minute, you said low supply, but there's more houses on the market than there's been in a while. I'm not talking about that kind of supply. I'm talking about the housing shortage, the realized shortage of available units in the United States of America. Because there is a shortage of available product, supply and demand rules effectively say that when demand is high and supply is low, prices remain the same or they tend to go up. Now, how does that affect Texas? Well, Texas currently has a 4.8-month inventory, which is below the 6-month balance threshold that we normally have. Unlike 2008's 13-month oversupply. Now, cities like Houston and Dallas, they are remaining somewhat seller favorable. Yeah, it's still not necessarily a buyer's market in those markets. Now, do your own research. Go get your own data. Don't rely on me. But I think those markets are still holding their own. Let's talk about the strong labor market. Unemployment, effective May of 2025, was at 4.2%. Stable at 4.2%. In 2024, far below the 10% unemployment rate that existed in 2009. A strong labor market supports borrower stability. How does that affect Texas? Well, Texas's job growth, in other words, 46,800 new jobs in Dallas effective May of 2025, bolsters demand, particularly in major cities. And if you've ever heard of a thing called Dodd-Frank, yeah, look it up. Look up Dodd-Frank. Be prepared to do a lot of reading. But Dodd-Frank's risk retention rules and stricter regulations on mortgage-backed securities and collateralized debt obligations tends to reduce systemic risks. And what that means to Texas, it means these reforms have helped to stabilize Texas's markets, where speculative lending was less prevalent even in 2008. Yeah, Texas is one of those places that did a little better than the rest of the nation. So why do I think the pundits' predictions may be overblown? Number one, it's all sensationalism. I think it's all sensationalism. I mean, they're making claims of a 400% overvaluation, which lacks the data to support that claim. there are other claims out there, like the one I told you about, a 97% drop. This guy is predicting a 97% drop in real estate prices. The whole United States of America would have to be invaded and blown up for that to happen. That's my opinion, but I'm sticking with it. Pundits often highlight correcting markets like Austin as evidence of a broader crash, ignoring the stable markets like Dallas and Houston. And I didn't make that up. I got that from Newsweek. Zillow predicts a 1.9% national price increase in 2025, while others forecast a 1.9% decline, reflecting uncertainty, but certainly not a 2008 scale collapse. And what about Texas? Texas has a housing shortage. Texas has a strong job market. Texas has stricter lending standards, believe it or not, than the rest of the nation, which makes a statewide crash unlikely, even if West Texas or Austin sees further corrections. So what should you do? What should you do? Well, number one, if you haven't done it yet, get educated about how to invest in real estate. All of this clickbait is drawing you in. All of this clickbait is making you greedy. It's making you greedy. You start reading this stuff going, crash coming. You start, you know, rubbing your hands together and feeling the sweat drops build as you do it. Yeah, you're getting interested in taking advantage of the losses from somebody else. No, that's not what's happening. It's not what's happening at all. Markets are doing pretty good, especially in Texas. I think I've given you a lot of data that helps to support my argument, which is I don't think we're going to see a 2008-like crash in 2025. Now, maybe in 2026, I'll revisit this again, and maybe in 2026, I'll have a different answer for you. But currently, I think we're doing okay. We're still doing okay. I mean, if you've been watching what's going on in the news, Trump cannot control Jerome Powell. He cannot control. He doesn't work. Powell does not technically work for Trump. The Fed chair technically works for Congress, and the Fed chair is going to do whatever the Fed chair wants to do until the president gets an opportunity to nominate somebody else, but that's not until next year. But there's a lot of pressure in this country to reduce interest rates, but the Fed won't do it. So who is the Fed working on behalf of? That's the question I want to ask you guys. Who does the Fed really work for? Does the Fed work for we the people? Maybe. Does the Fed work for Congress? Probably. Does the Fed work for the president? Not so much. Does the Fed work for its own desires and interests? Oh, now there's the question I don't know the answer to. All I know is that the Fed was put together way back in, what was it, 1913? And it was given some pretty incredible power and authority and has been meeting in secret ever since 1913. And today, I think the Fed is a little out of control. I don't think the Fed is doing, this is my opinion again, I don't think the Fed is doing for the American population what it should be doing. I think it is holding interest rates a little artificially high. I think when you look at what money can be borrowed for across the world, you can buy money a lot cheaper in places like Sweden than you can in the United States. If we want to continue to invest in the United States, we need to be competitive. And one of the things that's affecting the markets right now is the fact that we were living in a time period where we had 3% interest rates, lowest ever in my lifetime. I have one property that I live in that has a 2.85% interest rate on it. It's real hard for me to consider letting that loan go. I definitely won't refinance, because if I were to refinance, I'd be in the mid to high sixes. It would negate the benefits of refinancing. It would probably give me a higher monthly payment, so I won't do that. But if interest rates come down, if interest rates start adjusting downward, if we see interest rates go down 0.75 or maybe a full point, I think we're going to see some amazing things happen in our housing markets. I really do. I think what we're currently seeing in the market is a condition of, and this is again my opinion, but I think it's a condition of the fact that the interest rates are higher than they should be, that we have a Fed chair that is ignorant, or he is serving somebody else other than we the people. And I think we need to change that. That's just my opinion. For those of you out there thinking the real estate market's going to crash, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think there's a bubble out there. I think the one thing that we can't control are the mortgage rates, but I think that eventually mortgage rates are going to come down. The reason for them to come down, the reasons that the federal board should make a decision to bring rates down, is that the economy has done the things that it was supposed to do to warrant a rate reduction. But only time will tell, right? Hey, I'll tell you what. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, text the word radio to 88007. Again, text the word radio to 88007. And let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.